Our next guest, Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, his latest book, The War on Guns. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can follow his work at crimeresearch.org. He joins us on our Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning, Dr. Lott.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us again this morning. And in recent months, we've seen the massacre out in Vegas. We, in the last week or so, had the Texas church massacre shooting. And again, with each one of these kinds of horrific, tragic events, the left immediately pounces, within seconds sometimes, calling for more gun control, more background checks and things of that nature. And in the latest incident, we understand that the Texas shooter had been dishonorably discharged from the military. Again, should have been named, should have been in the background check system, but wasn't. They're still investigating why his name wasn't shared with the FBI database. So why do you think this perennial push for background checks is still to this date haven't really produced any real benefits?
Well, I mean, there are different types of background checks. With the, I mean, we already have a national background checks are required when you go to a licensed dealer. What they want to have is any background checks on any private transfers of guns. And there's been no mass public shooting in at least the last couple decades that would have been stopped by having those types of regulations in effect. You know, obviously there were mistakes that were made in this last case for the current background check system that we already have. But I wish it was easy for I wish it was easy to have background checks work, you know, as some type of miracle cure in this stuff generally, but it's simply not the case. You know, if I give you a kind of an analogy here, we have background checks for people to go and buy drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to go and go to a pharmacy, you have a prescription, you're going to have to show your ID to go and get it. And yet, it's not stopping people from getting illegal drugs. And, you know, essentially the same type of issue exists when we're talking about guns. In fact, the same organizations, the same drug gangs that sell drugs sell illegal guns.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. And the other issue we always focus on in the case of the Texas church shooter is one that it obviously failed, and that one didn't make the system. But what about the problem of false positives? These are people that should have every right to purchase a firearm, and yet they get flagged for any number of reasons falsely. Is that also not an issue with the background check system?
Well, it should be. Look, I agree with you. To be honest, my concern is that one of the reasons why they keep pushing this, even though it has nothing to do with any of the attacks. So after each of and every talk that President Obama gave when he was president, he pushed, where after one of these mass public shootings during his administration, he pushed background checks on private transfers of guns. So the question is, why do they keep pushing this when it has nothing to do with any of these attacks? They push it, as you say, with an hour or two of the attack. It later turns out that it wouldn't have had anything to do with the attack or any of the others during his administration or earlier. So why do they keep pushing this? And unfortunately, I've kind of come to the perception that it's being pushed because they just want to make it difficult for people to get guns. And you have not just the false positives that you're talking about. So, for example, last year during the campaign, Hillary Clinton would go and say that there's 3 million dangerous prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. Well, that's simply false. What she should have said is that there have been 3 million initial denials, and that virtually all of those, something around 99% or so, were cases where we stopped the wrong person. We stopped somebody simply because they had a name similar to a felon or somebody else that we wanted to prohibit from buying guns rather than the actual person. I mean, it's going to be a simple breakdown. Last year, we have the full annual report put out on the NICS system, the background check system, was 2010. The Obama administration stopped putting out those reports at that time. But there were 73,000 initial denials at that time. There were 42 cases that were of the 73,000, 42 cases were referred for prosecution. There were 28 prosecutions, and there are 13 convictions by the federal system. And you have about an equal number of convictions by through states around the country. The question is, how do you get from 73,000 down to 13,000 convictions, 13 convictions? And the issue is because they weren't real cases. You know, during the Obama administration, Republicans attacked President Obama for not enforcing the laws. When Bush was president, Democrats attacked him for not enforcing the laws, and the same thing happened with Clinton. Not that any of these presidents, whether Republican or Democrat, didn't want to enforce the law. It's just that they had the wrong person, and so it wasn't a real case.
And Dr. Lott, this is Frank Luber joining the Frank Luber here joining the conversation. You know, there are a lot of states that have shall issue laws, and many others don't, like Maryland. And my question to you is, what is the overall effect of shall issue laws on crime itself?
Right. Well, I mean, the vast majority of academics have looked at this. About two-thirds find that when right to carry laws get passed, you see a drop in violent crime rates. You know, there's about a third of the papers that claim that there's no effect. And, you know, that's basically been the debate among academics and peer-reviewed articles that are there. Just as you can make it more costly for criminals to commit crime with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates, the fact that a would-be victim might be able to defend themselves also makes it riskier for criminals to commit crime.
Sure. I guess the big question here is, does the number of multiple victim shootings decline in shall-issue states?
Yeah, basically to the extent that you still see mass public shootings in states that allow more concealed carry permits is that they virtually always occur in places where people with permits aren't allowed to be, so-called gun-free zones. And, you know, in my book, The War on Guns, or you can go to our website at crimeresearch.org, I give example after example of cases where in diaries or in other types of statements, these killers have explained why they picked the target that they did. They're not stupid. They may be crazy, but they want to kill as many people as they can. And they know the faster that somebody arrives on the scene with a gun, the more people that they're going to get stopped before they can kill as many people as they want to.
All right, Dr. Lott, hold that thought. Speaking with Dr. John Lott, author of The War on Guns and president of Crime Prevention Research Center, the website crimeresearch.org. And Dr. Lott, one thing, after reading More Guns, Less Crime and The War on Guns, you lay out with empirical evidence, data, analysis, some very powerful arguments, so much so that you've been able to at least persuade some on the left to reconsider their positions. One is, I think, the former CEO for NPR. It's so bad for the left that Michael Bloomberg has made it his mission to try to keep you out of from doing media interviews. So again, are you trying to turning things around here with the media, or are you pretty much having a rough road to get booked on some of these shows?
Well, the problem with a lot of media is that, for TV in particular, is that they want to have people on both sides, which is great. I love to have some type of debate and discussion myself personally. But gun control groups, I guess largely at the urging of Bloomberg's Everytown, have an agreement that they won't appear on TV with me. And you know, it's kind of ebbed and flowed in terms of enforcing this agreement. But, you know, I have some examples and War on Guns. I'd get a call from, you know, CNN or whatever, ask me to be on a show. I'd be driving in, and then I get a call from the producer saying that I've been disinvited because the Bloomberg people, when they were told who was going to be on the other side, insisted, you know, they wouldn't participate if I was involved. And so, you know, and I don't know why.
Is that because, Doctor, you back up your stand on this issue with, you know, studies and facts and what have you?
Right. I think they want to debate people who make Second Amendment arguments. I think they want to debate people who simply say, well, you know, I have a right to go and do such and such. You know, you can't interfere with my ability to go and buy a gun. And I don't make those types of arguments. What motivates me isn't whether you have a Second Amendment right. What motivates me is what makes people safer. And I worry sometimes when people who make those Second Amendment arguments get on TV or whatever, they come across. You have a killing, and the host will say, "Well, should we just have background checks for this?" And you know their response is, "Well, I don't think I should be regulated." I think that's wrong on multiple counts. I think it makes the person look callous. I think it concedes, you know, the fact that these, implicitly at least, that these regulations would make people safer. And, look, I have no problem with background checks per se. It's just the current system's a mess. I mean, we talked before about over 99% of these stops are mistakes. But it's more than that. In D.C., where I'm at right now, it costs $150 to go and do a background check on a private transfer. You can find them as cheap as $55 in Oregon. But, you know, whether it's $55 or $150, the question is, who are you stopping from being able to go and get guns? My research shows that it's basically poor blacks, the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, who get stopped by having these officers there. And the question is, why do you need to have that? I mean, if you believe it reduces crime, why not make everybody pay for it? Because everybody would presumably benefit from lower crime. It's just not the most law-abiding people who go out of their way to have a background check on a private transfer.
An excellent point.
Bring up things.
Yeah. Dr. Lott, we're unfortunately out of time, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. But again, the website is crimeresearch.org. The book is The War on Guns. And thanks again for joining us, Dr. John Lott, here this morning.